if they're heading to a hot spring, be prepared for a fart smell.
If you're a father, then you're going to be in heaven because you can be there and do it all you want and blame the actual...
that's just the sulfur.
That's a sulfur. That's not the dog anymore. It's a sulfur.
Do you love the outdoors?
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey to explore the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we're going to deliver, you and I personally are going to deliver our own five top holiday slash Christmas locations throughout the USA. And give you a hint, Josh, I think yours is very different to mine.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Craig.
Merry Christmas, mate. And Happy New Year to you as well. And I hope you have a safe one, buddy, just saying. So, yes, you're all excited. This is, it's actually Christmas Day today.
It's Christmas Day. I hope everybody got everything they wanted. And you are getting a gift from us. You are getting a Christmas episode on Christmas Day. This is fantastic.
Christmas special, as they say.
It's a Christmas, it's a Treasures of Our Town Christmas special 2023.
It is. And Josh, guess what I did on Christmas Eve?
What did you do?
I watched your video in amongst the actual Christmas story house, Josh.
Oh,
wow, that was amazing.
Gosh, that was just delightful.
That was every so year, cool. Yeah.
Every year I try to do a Christmas special on the Geocaching Vloggers YouTube channel. Yeah. However, Craig, last year I didn't do one. But you know how it is with Christmas specials? You can just watch them over and over. I mean, everybody watches Charlie Brown's Christmas every year. Whoa. But this year, we have a brand new one. It was from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig, I had a great time recording it. Craig filmed it. He edited it. Dare I say, was a masterpiece.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Thank you. A masterpiece.
It was so easy. Well, easy, yes and no. But it was so easy to do because, Josh, while we were there, I didn't realize, because I'm from Australia. And so we don't, I think I've mentioned this before previously on the podcast, we don't have that you know, every Christmas day you watch a Christmas story over and over and over and over. We don't do that in Australia. Why? Because
really?
It's sunny, it's hot, we're down the beach, we're having barbecues, we're swimming in the ocean. Like, Christmas Day for Australia is outside, outdoors, never indoors.
Yes. It's kind of like your 4th of July.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't have that either. But anyway.
Well, I know, but that's what we do on 4th of July. We go are outside, we're in the water, we're having hot dogs, barbecue, all the things.
Exactly. So that's what we normally do. So we don't get that Christmas special as such. Now, when I was there with you in Cleveland at the Christmas Story House, I had seen, again, bits and pieces of it, not the full story, to be honest with you, because you're busy on Christmas Day and it's in the background. And and then I'm filming you and you say these different things, different lines. I'm thinking that's got to be from a line from the movie. That's got to be a line from the movie. And Josh, you're almost word for word on these different lines. I had to pick out which ones were the best lines and put it in order in the sequence. And then I had to find the actual footage and put it as well to show people like me who don't know it like 100% that, damn, man, you're really good at that stuff. Like, you're really, really good.
It was just delightful to watch you put the actual movies from the clips from the movies into the video. That was so cool. I was actually impressing myself. I was like, whoa, I did get it right. It tells you how many times I've actually watched that movie.
Exactly. And how much it actually sinks into your brain, even when it's sort of it's on in the background on Christmas Day itself. What was my favorite line was the electric sex out the window or whatever it was. That one.
I think that one I had to actually look up on my phone in the moment. I was like, how did he say that exactly? So that one might have been that one might have been a little bit of a cheat. But
a bit fudgy.
Oh, but it's so appropriate that we're talking about this because we are talking about today the top 10 Christmas-themed locations that are great to visit at Christmas time, but also some of them you can visit anytime.
Exactly. So some of them you can. Some of them you won't get the experience, though, because some of them have got, like, you know, the different actual Christmas-themed locations, but others a Christmas theme 24/7, like, you know, throughout the entire 365 a year and 366 on a leap day. So, yes. Yeah.
And I'm going to say a disclaimer about this episode. This one is a little tough for me, Craig. And, you know, we've talked about this before because most of the episodes that we have, we've actually have visited, you know, the places, experienced them, feet on the ground. And several of these locations are aspirational places, places that we also want to go. But thanks to the internet and YouTube and all the good things, like, I think we found some real gems here.
We really have. And in saying that too, you were a little bit adamant with me. You're like, Craig, that one there, that's not really part of our niche. So I'm like, Josh, leave it in. That's what it's going to be, you know, because I go from the biggest to the smallest, to be honest with you, in my list. Yeah. So just saying, shall we get to the list? Shall we get to this? Or do you want to talk about your Christmas day at the moment? What are you doing right now on Christmas Day today?
On Christmas Day, I'm sitting by my holiday tree with my star from the Christmas Story movie, sipping on my eggnog in the glow of not electric sex, but just my tree.
Fair enough. And do you think you're going to get a white Christmas this year, Josh?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
We're recording this before the holidays.
We're
time traveling as we speak. I'm looking out the window, and you know what? I'm going to stop right there because guess what?
What?
On the Treasures of Our Town podcast, we do not talk about the weather.
Oh, this is true. This is true. But in saying that, dude, I'll be honest with you. This is the theme of the show, and that is, you know, a white Christmas. I know everyone from the Southern Hemisphere almost no one in the Southern Hemisphere experiences a white Christmas. And that's the one thing that that we Australians, etc., when we come to America, we want to experience that white Christmas, like the movies, John.
Yes.
You know, and you're lucky enough to sort of, most cases, live in that sort of location whereby you can actually have a white Christmas.
Yes, I'd say probably about 95% of the time here in Minnesota, we have a white Christmas. But I don't know. We got a week, and I don't think anything's in the forecast. And actually, I don't mind it. We've had, I'll stop right there.
Yeah.
I started talking about the weather even more.
How boring. I'll say this, though, for everyone out there, okay? I've realized the true definition of a white Christmas. Do you yourself know what the definition of a white Christmas is? For you to have an actual white Christmas,
I would say the grass needs to be covered with
one inch of snow to be laying upon the ground. So it doesn't actually have to be physically snow falling down for it to be a white Christmas, as some people think. No, it just has to have an inch of snow layered on the ground, and therefore then it's classed as a white Christmas. There you go. See the tips.
Wow.
See the knowledge that comes out from this podcast.
This is just delightful. Should we get to our list?
Yes, let's
get to our list of the top 10.
You can go first.
Christmas themed locations. We're going Christmas, people.
Yes.
It's Christmas Day.
Exactly.
My first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, we always say these are in no particular order, but I don't know. As I made this list,
I think these actually might be in my order,
but that's okay.
That's okay. Mine's not.
The first one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to this place.
Yeah.
But it's the North Pole.
What? The actual North Pole.
The North Pole, not the actual North Pole. There is, and because we only talk about the United States here, right?
Yes, true.
Well, this is North Pole, Alaska.
Oh, so technically still in the U.S.
Yes. Population 2,224.
Wow.
And there is actually a North Pole, Alaska. Can you believe it, Craig?
No, I didn't even know this until I saw you write it up on the show notes. And I went, oh, dude, look at this. North Pole, Alaska. There's actually a town called North Pole.
Yeah, how can you have a Christmas visiting list without adding the North Pole in there? And
what's in the North Pole?
There's so much, Craig.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you've been to Alaska, haven't you?
Yes. I've been to Alaska. Oh,
What a vibe that is.
I know. It is a beautiful place. It is an absolutely stunning location.
When did you visit North Pole or Alaska?
I visited in the fall of 2021.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah.
That's when I visited too.
Yeah.
Only the year after, I think.
Yeah.
But North Pole, Alaska is pretty darn close to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes.
So it's up there. It's not at the top. You think North Pole, Alaska would be at the very top of Alaska? There's not much up there. There's not much up there. Although I have seen a video of somebody finding a geocache like in the most northern point of Alaska.
Yes.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But the big highlight mm-hmm. of this location is the Santa Claus house. Santa.
Really?
He's up there.
He's actually got a Santa Claus house.
There's a house, and it used to be apparently like some sort of trading post. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's probably exactly what you think it would be. It's just like a big store mm-hmm. with a lot of Santa stuff. Of course, Santa isn't there. I saw a video where you can like look into like where he hangs out in his little workshop. And I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think most days of the year, there is a Santa's there. I mean, he's there, except, of course, Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You know, he's all over around the world.
Yeah.
And there's a huge Santa statue that is, of course, a virtual geocache.
Of course.
the whole area is covered with Adventure Labs. And mm-hmm. if you don't know what we're talking about, we had a whole episode about location-based games.
Yeah.
But you can play... You can geocache. You can probably Munzee. You can probably do Adventure Labs all up there. So fantastic. Really cool. So full Santa themed. There's reindeer farms, like actual reindeer.
Real life reindeers. Not the...
Yeah.
I don't think they fly though, Josh, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I think these do. Probably fly.
They probably fly, but only once a year when they get sprinkled the dust from Santa, just saying.
This is true. Yeah. And, you know, I just discovered that reindeer are really caribou. Did you know
that? Yes. Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, because I learned that when I was in Alaska. There you go.
Yeah. Craig, do you remember when you went to Roswell, New Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
We had an episode about Roswell.
We did.
And do you remember the McDonald's?
Yes, the actual spaceship. It was a spaceship McDonald's.
Yeah. It was a UFO. Cool.
It was a UFO
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, the sign at the McDonald's in North Pole, Alaska is a candy cane.
No.
It's a candy cane.
So it's year round. So you can probably go to this place year round for Santa stuff, I dare say.
Yes. I just love the themed McDonald's.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Like if you ever go to North Pole, Alaska, here's another thing. If you go about an hour to the east, a little bit farther out, there's the China Hot Springs Resort, the actual hot springs. And I saw a video of it. I mean, it's full snowing. It's really cold out, but it's hot.
It's hot.
Hot water in an actual hot springs. And so it's like a resort. And on the resort grounds, there is an ice museum, similar to that one that I went to in Germany where you walk in.
Yes,
and it's just all these ice sculptures and stuff like that. So
I bet though there's not a signal the frog in that ice museum though. Like there
probably isn't.
No.
Daniel Flieger, get on that.
Yes.
And you know, we love our restaurants. So I was just curious. Yes. I was like, you know, what kind of Santa delicacies are there in North Pole, Alaska? Mm-hmm. And there is a very popular Chinese restaurant called the Pagoda Restaurant. And guess what, Greg?
This was featured
on Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives.
Really?
Like, guy went all the way up to Alaska, and it's some of the best Chinese food around. And I love my Chinese food.
Yeah.
It's so good. So well,
didn't they? And again, that's very Christmassy. What's that movie where they actually went and ate Chinese for dinner on Christmas Day? Was that
a Christmas story?
Was that a Christmas story? It was. There you go.
Yeah. Because the Bumpus's dogs ate the turkey.
That's right. See, you know more than me, mate. You know the more
that's
than
me. True.
Well, fair enough. You started up high. You started up in Alaska. I'm going to come back down a little bit south now. I'm going to start in Missouri. Mine are in no particular order. In Missouri, we have Branson, Missouri. Now, Branson is a smallish town. It's about 4 hours south, or southwest, I should say, of St. Louis as well. So about 4 hours southwest, St. Louis. Now, Josh, at this place, they deck it out at Christmas time. So if you're going to go there, obviously the best time is Christmas time, unlike your Alaska one where it's pretty much going to be Christmas all year round. Here you've got Christmas-themed stage shows. That's one of the biggest draws is the actual Christmas-themed stage shows they have. It's at King's Castle Theater.
Hmm.
They claim it's the biggest holiday celebration in the actual Ozarks itself, and the show lasts for about 2 hours, and there's free parking there as well. So I think, to be honest with you, and this comes out spoiler alert, this will come out later on in the show, where the what are those dances that are in New York City?
The Rockettes.
The Rockettes. So it's like that. It's like an actual Christmas themed show, like the Rockettes. But I think this one here changes every single year.
That's awesome. Really, I always love a good show. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I've never been to Branson. Can you believe I live that far away from it. I mean, it's quite a tourist area. Yeah, have you ever been to Branson?
I'll be honest with you. I have never been to any of these places at this time of year. I have been to some of these places, but not at this time of year. So yeah,
gotcha.
There's the difference. Branson is also known, well, I think that's personally known, like they brag it, as America's Christmas tree city, because there's more than 1,000 Christmas trees on display throughout the two counties that actually encompass the town. So 1,000 Christmas trees you can actually walk through, drive through, etc., and they're all decked out in their light display as well. The holiday celebrations typically kick off around the beginning of November. So they don't do the December one. They start the month early in November, and then they run all the way through to New Year's Day.
So wow. That's
pretty cool.
Craig, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you a real tree person or are you an artificial tree person?
See, that's a really good question, because growing up, I was a real tree person because, you know, that you get that smell of the pine, you know, you feel like it's Christmas. And even Christmas in Australia, we had real Christmas trees inside our house.
Yes.
You know, real Christmas. But, you know, growing up and getting your own house or getting your own place and – then you have to deal with all the mess and the frivolities. I've turned to sort of the plastic, the artificial Christmas tree. In actual fact, there's been years, Josh, I'm what, 48 now? Uh-huh. There's been years where I didn't even put up a single decoration in my house. Well, obviously, sometimes I'm a single man, you know. It's what's used, you know what I mean?
Who are you trying to impress?
Exactly. Like, you know, oh, Santa Claus is going to come to my house. Ho, ho, ho. But So that's what I'm. So I started off as a real, I've turned into a fake.
I think most people are that way. It's like they want a real tree at heart, but it's a lot of work and it's a mess, as you said.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my tree. It's artificial and it's just, you know, it's just fine.
It's just fine.
But and that smell is nice.
Exactly. Nice. The other thing you probably do is sometimes you'll go real, artificial, back to real, back to artificial. Now, why I say that is because you go from real when you were a kid to artificial when you sort of, you know, move out of home or whatever. And then when you have kids yourself, you go back to real again. So you can give them the experience of that true pine. And, you know, and then as anyone knows, as a, with a young family or whatnot, Christmas itself is all about family. And so to see the delight on the kids' faces and give them that joy of Christmas and that smell of the pine, you know, it's true.
Question, in Australia, do people go out and do they actually cut down their Christmas tree?
Yes.
Are there places like that, or do you have to just like go and like get one already cut down?
No, there's both. So there's actually Christmas tree farms. Yeah, there's Christmas tree farms, but there's also Christmas trees that you can buy already cut down at the side of the road with some hack sort of is there with his bum bag and full of cash, you know, going, oh, I'm selling these Christmas trees, you know, and it looks like he just stole them from the next door neighbor's house. But you know,
I've never actually cut down our Christmas tree. I have to. Really? That's a bucket list for me. I have to do that sometime.
Yeah. Well, when I first cut down my very first Christmas tree with my young family at the time, we actually went out, Josh, and we bought an actual Christmas tree saw. So it was a saw we only used to cut down the Christmas trees. So there you go. Yeah, there you go. Cool. Anyway, we digress.
Well, if you want to see a lot of cool trees, go to Branson.
You go to Branson, Missouri.
1,000? 1,000? That's amazing.
It says 1,000. Probably 1,001 by now, but who knows. You could also experience while you're there the old-time Christmas at Silver Dollar City. And they celebrate this season with the theme parks. Is it, you know, have you heard of Silver Dollar City? It's a theme park.
Oh, like a Six Flags. Like
a Six Flags, but I think it's going to be smaller than Six Flags. Let's be honest.
Yeah, probably.
But they celebrate. Get this: 6.5 million lights. I know, 6.5 million. 1.5 million of the lights are located in the actual Midtown Light Spectacular they have every single night.
That must be beautiful.
Yeah. There's an 8-story state-of-the-art Christmas tree, and it debuts at the centerpiece of the actual town square.
So I bet you that's fake.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, it has to be. Really, let's be honest, it has to be. Aren't they all fake that size? I don't know.
You got it. I don't know. The Rockefeller Center one, I think, is a real tree.
That's a real tree. Maybe I think they grow that specifically for that.
Yeah. So, bring it in. Wow.
While you're there, Josh, you can actually explore the candy lover's dream as well.
Whoa.
So there's the candy, and there's the displays at the incredible Gingerbread Village. So all the gingerbread houses, you can actually build your own gingerbread house, etc. Quick funny story. Recently, I went with dinner with a mate of mine and left my wife here alone, who she bought a gingerbread house for her to build. Right. Yes. I come home from having dinner with my mate and I saw just a couple of just little strips of what do you call it, icing on the coffee table. I said, well, what are those from? She goes, I left them out. Okay, what do you mean? She goes, well, they're from the gingerbread house. Okay, well, where's the gingerbread house? She goes, I threw it away. So I said, what?
Oh, no.
So what happened was, and tell me out there, people, you might have these same circumstances, and that is, you know, you're trying to glue this thing together, right?
Yeah.
And you're gluing it together with icing and whatever.
Right.
And I think because she's from New Jersey as well, they have like the less of a, you know, tolerance and patience. And so this thing kept on falling down to the point where the last one fell down, it cracked. So she cracked it herself, and she threw it all in the trash. And then after she threw it in the trash, she thought, oh, I don't want Craig to see this. So she bundled up the trash for the first time ever and took the trash out to the trash can.
She was so embarrassed by her craftsmanship of the gingerbread house.
And she won't be embarrassed by me saying that because she doesn't listen to this podcast. That's okay.
And isn't that so true about gingerbread houses, is that even if you make them and they look like, as a kid, you see them, you're like, oh, they're so beautiful. There's gumdrops on them and icing.
Yes.
And it's gingerbread cookie. And then you're like, okay, Christmas is over. Now you can eat it. You eat it and it's just disgusting.
Oh, it's dry.
Like, I've never had a gingerbread house that tastes good.
It's cardboard. I don't think there's any sugar in it, to be honest with you.
No, it's just, it's nasty.
It is.
Anyway. Throw it in the trash.
Throw it in the trash. Exactly. Apart from the candy lover's dream here in Missouri, you could also, this is the last part as well, you can ride aboard. They've actually got a Polar Express.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Tom Hanks on it?
Well, yes. Not the actual Tom Hanks, but it's the Branson Scenic Railway, and they do a holiday train every single Christmas time itself, and the whole family will love it. You board along the Polar Express at the historic 1906 depot in downtown Branson. You'll be greeted by characters out of the story, Josh, including the prominent train conductor, Tom Hanks, the friendly hobo as well, and Santa Claus himself as well.
Wow.
So there you go. The Polar Express actually happens in Branson.
So it's themed on the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to make it most like the movie.
Most like the movie. They tried to make it exactly like the movie. So that's cool.
I love a good train ride.
Yes.
There's something about a train ride that's just... You know, maybe someday, Craig, we'll have to like see if we could just like take an Amtrak together somewhere and just like have a experience, because it's just a kind of a lost travel art. I know people do it.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't hear about it that much. I don't hear about too many people be like, oh, yeah, I took a train all the way to Seattle or something like that. Like
my brother-in-law has a bucket list of train rides he wants to do, and he's been doing them.
Oh, really?
He's a single guy. He did one from New York to Chicago. He did that one recently.
Okay.
And he really enjoyed it. He said, like, you know, it was the same price as flying. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
think it takes longer.
And it takes much longer, and it's not as comfortable, I don't think. But still, yeah. He always said as well, here's a tip for you. If you're going to do a long train ride like that, pump up the money and actually pay for the better seating, the better quality, where you can lay down if you want to.
Yeah.
Where you can go and visit the actual
sleep car.
Yeah, the sleep car. Yes. So put out a little bit extra for the sleep car. Don't ride in the economy. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. So yeah. So that's the end of mine, Josh, in Missouri.
Okay.
There we go. That's Missouri.
We're just gonna go a little bit south of Missouri. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to Chickasaw.
What?
Oklahoma. Chickasaw.
Chickasaw.
Oklahoma.
What's what a Chickasaw?
Heck? What in the heck is Christmas have to do with Chickasaw? Well, this is all based on the movie we just talked about off the top, A Christmas Story. It's pretty much new. It's like been there, I think, only like a year, Craig.
Yeah.
A giant leg lamp statue.
Really?
Have you seen pictures of this? Have you seen?
I had to Google it when I saw your show notes, Josh. I had to Google it. I went, what? It's even on a little fragile box.
Oh, yeah. It's very fragile.
That's Italian.
Yeah, it's Italian. It's a major award.
Yes.
And even Valerie from Silly America.
That's right.
This is how I found out about it. I think as soon as that place was erected, I mean, Valerie made her way down there.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, took a picture and of course had an outfit that matched. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a leg lamp statue. And we're not talking, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Craig, you need to look it up. I didn't look up how big it was, but it's humongous.
You want me to look
it's
it up
humongous.
Now?
You don't have to, but
tell me more about it and I'll look it up for you.
I will. So where Chickasaw is, it's just south of Oklahoma City. Craig, this is Oka City. Mm-hmm. This is a place that, you know, we have talked about visiting together. Yeah. I've only driven through Oklahoma City, but this is just south of it. And of course, it's from the Christmas Story house that we covered on the Cleveland Rocks episode.
Yeah.
Because the actual Christmas Story, and actually the Christmas Story house is not on this list, but it certainly gets honorable mention but we've talked about it extensively on another episode on that Cleveland Rocks episode. But I had to ask myself the question, why did they put the leg lamp statue in Chickasaw? Craig, why do you think? Without looking at the show notes.
Oh, geez. I would guess that like either the director or a writer or something like this from Chickasaw. That was my guess.
It's pretty close.
Really? What is it?
Chickasaw claims, now if you're from Chickasaw, you know, write us, but Chickasaw claims that the leg lamp idea was invented there. Oh. There was an artist by the name of Nolan James, local artist. And years ago, he created a leg lamp. And it was interesting because it was actually, Craig, a two-leg lamp. You know, maybe we always wonder, like, why is there only one leg?
Yeah.
But he created a two-leg leg lamp. And you can actually see it, the actual two-leg leg lamp that Nolan James created in, like, one of their museums in Chickasaw.
That's really cool.
And so they're claiming that they are the place that invented the leg lamp.
Oh.
And you know how towns are. They're just they're the Christmas capital. They want to be the Christmas capital of Oklahoma. So why not put a gigantic
leg lamp.
Great piece of pop culture.
It's 40 foot high, 10 foot high crate and 40 foot high leg lamp. So 50 foot in total.
50 feet tall.
Yeah.
Whole.
And Chickasaw claimed to be the birthplace of the Lady Leg Lamp.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And it is only new. It's from November 2022. It was actually erected. So
on display. You can go at Christmas time, but it is on display year round. That is a permanent location for the leg lamp. Want to visit it? You know, I love the big things.
Yeah, so I do. I do.
And this is a
complete with fishnet stockings too.
Ooh. And I'm sure they light it up at night. They've got to.
Surely.
Chickasaw, hidden gem. South of Oklahoma City.
There you go. For the leg lamp. For the leg lamp. Josh, my second one going through now, this one here is very, I reading about this and actually researching this as well actually surprised me. It is Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Stop.
Yes.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Okay, there you go.
Fair enough. Well, this is what surprised me, though. So on Christmas Eve in 1741, Josh, 200 plus years ago.
That's before this was a country.
Correct.
Before America.
Yeah. So a small group of Moravians and their benefactor, the German Count Nicholas Zinzendorf, I'm probably, you know, hacking that one, they held a religious service to christen their new settlement in Bethlehem itself. And they observed the singing and the atmosphere. And then he declared it, the new settlement, to be known as Bethlehem. Mm. So Zinzendorf actually declared it as Bethlehem. But the fact is, though, Josh, and this is what surprised me as well, and that is, it's known as a Christmas city now, obviously, for obvious reasons, but it wasn't coined that until 1937.
Mm.
So there you go. Yeah. So almost 100 years later, they actually then – sorry, 200 years later, they actually then coined it as the Christmas city of the USA.
It's kind of fascinating that they didn't name it New Bethlehem.
Yes, yes, you know, I know.
Like
I know.
All over the United States, it's like Hanover, New Hanover, Ulm, New Ulm.
Yeah.
New Bethlehem.
Hampshire, New Hampshire. No, New Jersey. There's all these new things. It is the Christmas. There is a Christmas city village there as well. It's
of course
German
there is.
Inspired. It's got a Christmas market. Markets are in two different locations. It's really, it's a perfect, Bethlehem is a perfect town whereby you park outside and then walk through. Take as long as you need to and know that it's going to take a while and literally walk through. There's the Moravian bookshop as well. Now, this bookshop, the bookshop was established in 1745.
Whoa, that's old.
That's old.
It's old and for it's, us.
And it's known as the oldest continually operating bookstore in the world.
So that's a cool go. Fact.
That's really cool.
That's really fact. Cool.
The oldest one in the world. However, the shop itself is so much more than a bookstore, they say, because inside you can sample delicious beer, Josh. So it's a bookstore with beer. You can have some chocolates. You can browse around and have a look at the other the holiday merchandise that they have as well, and obviously all the Bethlehem souvenirs. So
I bet
beer and a
you can
Josh.
Get a really killer nativity set there.
Oh yes, yes,
like salt shaker nativity, like all kinds of nativity sets.
Here's a question for you,
Lego.
Here's a question for you. Now you ask a question for me. Here's a question for you again. Oh, this is off the books. Mm-hmm. Nativity sets. Are you a nativity set person where Jesus is in the nativity set before Christmas or wait until Christmas Day?
Oh, we wait.
Oh, we wait. You're a wait. Yes.
When my kids were little, I set up the nativity set and all that was there was Mary and Joseph at the start of December.
Mm.
And I had the wise men. I moved them around.
Oh.
So Reese would be like, when she was little, she was like, Dad, where are the wise guys? She called them the wise guys. She's like, where are the wise guys? And so every day she'd wake up in December and she'd look around the house and look where the wise guys moved. And the wise guys would move closer and closer mm-hmm. to the nativity set. And then, of course, on Christmas Eve.
Day. Oh, Christmas Eve, yeah.
Christmas Eve, we put the little manger there and then the wise guys showed up.
That's really cool. That's really cool. There you go. See, I'm learning more and more about you.
Yeah, yeah. Way better. Way better than Elf on a Shelf.
Oh, yeah, 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 exactly. You don't have to think about like bad stuff that you can do with Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, the wise guys weren't creating mischief and like
no,
destroying the kitchen and cleaning the toilet like
and
the
painting on the kids' faces and stuff.
Painting on the kids' faces like that darn elf.
Exactly. Anyway, in Bethlehem, we'll talk about the beer and books, Josh. We're going to talk about the brewery that's in Bethlehem as well, Fegley's Brew Works, it's called. It's only quite new itself, but it features delicious beers throughout the year. You know, you can obviously go there throughout the year and have the beers, but those who are wanting the taste of the holiday season, you can't miss out on the Rude Elf's Reserve. So it's a bourbon barrel aged beer.
Oh, we know all about that.
Yes, we do. See,
we took a bourbon tour.
Yeah, we did.
So they put the beer inside of old barrels that they distill whiskey in or they ferment whiskey in.
That's right. And these bourbon barrels, they were charred. Remember they actually had before they put the whiskey in, they charred the inside of the barrels to a certain char level, certain char degrees. And so what happens is when you put the beer in these barrels, then it takes on that flavor. It takes on the char flavor and also takes on
smoky.
That smoky bourbon flavor. Exactly. So there you go. Oh, I knew you'd like that one. I knew you'd like that one.
That's fun.
Finishing off in Bethlehem, there has to be a winter light spectacular. It's in the Langley Zoo. It goes about 30 minutes northwest of the actual downtown itself. More than one million lights throughout the zoo itself. And there's characters like the Grinch, Isla from Frozen.
Elsa.
I say yes. Isla. Elsa.
You said Isla. Not Elsa. Right?
Elsa, Woody from the Toy Story, and also Santa as well. So there you go. The Christmas light spectacular at the zoo.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I wonder what the animals think of that. Like, well, whoa, this place got real.
As long as there's no fireworks, I don't think it would matter too much with that.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Number three, we're going to New York, but not New York City because New York City. I mean, come on. This podcast is about hidden treasures. I mean, you know, New York City is not a hidden treasure. So I don't know if that really fits our podcast, but we're going to New York. We're going to, gosh, I was going to call you last night, Craig.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure you had seen this movie before we talked about it.
Yeah.
Have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Craig, that's a travesty. Craig, that is your assignment for this week. Not only, Craig, is It's a Wonderful Life a good holiday Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies ever made.
Really?
It is big for you. Yes. It's a 10 out of 10.
Is it up there with Back to the Future?
I mean, it's Back to the Future is number one, but but it's up there. I have a list of my favorite movies, and It's a Wonderful Life is up there. Wow. And so that's Craig. This summer when we went to the Christmas Story house, I went to Christmas Story.
Yeah,
here's some new another assignments.
Yeah, I know. It's
a Wonderful Life, Craig. I dare if you ha- and you be patient with it. It's kind of a long movie. It's old movie.
Yeah.
But be patient as the greatest message. Anyway, back to travel. Seneca Falls.
Seneca Falls. Where about Seneca Falls in New York?
I don't know. I don't know where it is.
It's not in New York State.
Yes. I believe it's in the north. I think it's in the north.
Well, anything's in the north in New York State.
True. I think it's at the top. I'm going to say it's the top of New York. I'm guessing.
At the top of New York, up that way.
It's pretty close.
It's Falls. Would it be near Niagara, whatever? Well, there you go. No. It's going to be, let me just see exactly here, just for you, Josh, as well.
Yeah, because we're map nerds.
We want to
know where they are.
Yeah,
we want to know where it is.
It's about almost an hour and a half, between an hour and 45, going directly east from Buffalo. So directly east from Buffalo. So it's right up there.
Yeah, I remember when I visited Buffalo, Nancy from the Deadliest Cashers, who listens to this podcast, she was like, Josh, if you have time, go to Seneca Falls because it's the town that inspired the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They claim it.
Yeah.
Inspired the movie It's a Wonderful Life. The town in It's a Wonderful Life is called Bedford Falls. And it's one of those things where, like, similar to Groundhog Day, it's like the location is a character.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So none of the movie was filmed there. You know how I love my movie filming locations, but it was inspired by it. And so they have It's a Wonderful Life Museum.
Of course.
Several of the like costumes and the artifacts from the movie. Every year on the second weekend December, it was last weekend, they have It's a Wonderful Life Festival where they have actors from the movie. And you haven't seen the movie, but you know the line, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Yes.
You know that line?
Yes,
okay.
It's at the end. Yeah.
It's at the end of the movie. And that's a character, Zuzu. Mm-hmm. And every year, Zuzu, the actress that played Zuzu, she's there. She looks like she always shows up. Mm-hmm. And I think she's probably in her 80s, maybe 90s now. She's a child that came off. For those of you who have watched the movie, I don't want to spoil the movie for you, Craig, but the George Bailey Bridge is there, which is a significant plot point in the movie.
Okay.
The bridge is a significant plot point. I'm not going to say anything else because
you
got to watch it. No, I want
to. Yeah, but if everyone else out there, this is not a podcast for me. This is a podcast for everyone else.
It's where George Bailey meets the angel and where he almost commits suicide.
Oh.
But see,
it's intriguing me more now.
It's a plot point. It's a turning point.
Oh,
you can take official tours throughout the town.
Yeah,
they'll just take you to different spots that were inspired. And then there's a hotel called, if you stay there, you must stay at Hotel Clarence. Clarence is the name of the angel in the movie.
Oh,
again, that's kind of a mild spoiler, but anyway, if you're a fan of that movie, you gotta go to Seneca Falls, New York.
Yeah,
It's a Wonderful Life. One of the greatest movies. And certainly one of the best Christmas movies of all time.
Very good, very good. Well, you know what, Josh, you said before about, you know, oh, we're not going to go to New York City. We're not going to. I am, Josh. I'm going to go to New York City, and I'll tell you the reasons why very, very soon. Right now.
Too big.
I know you go, oh, it's too big, Craig. That's not the hidden gem. It's not about the hidden gem sometimes, Josh. I can go, I can have the biggest one, like New York City, like one of the biggest cities in the United States, if not the world. I can have this as my list. Why? Because It is so iconic, Josh. There's so many things. I'm going to quickly list the things down. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, right?
Yeah.
Things like, we said before, the Rockefeller Christmas tree, horse carriage rides, just like the movies. Yes. You know, the Bank of the Bank of America, Winter Village at Bryant Park. There's an actual skating rink, like an outdoor skating rink there as well. There's a Christmas spectacular starring the Radio City Rockettes, like we spoke about earlier. Gingerbread Lane, Gingerbread New York City. There's a Bake Off. There's Lightscapes. There's the Saks Fifth Avenue Light Show. Amazing window displays in Saks and Macy's as well. Don't forget the Empire State Building, Josh. Now, I know you like the movies, just like, you know, the movie Sleepless in Seattle. You got to live like Sleepless in Seattle, like Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. What's with Tom Hanks in all these Christmas movies? I just thought of that.
He's a good, he's
in a lot of things.
He's a holiday guy.
And he gets lost a lot too, but anyway. And of course, you can then end it off with, you can't look past the iconic ball drop in on New Year's Eve in the actual, have you done it? Have you done it?
No, I haven't done it because I don't want to wear a, I don't want to wear a diaper.
I know. So all this, I understand what you used to mean about this is too big of a place and all that sort of stuff. And yes, it's getting too busy now, to be honest with you. I'll be honest, for me personally, I wouldn't do it too busy. But I want to go back to refresh one thing, and that is the horse carriage rides. Just let me say this for one sense. And that is because there's two sides of the coin. Some people say these horses, you know, they're mistreated, they're good work, whatever else as well. People don't understand. This came from the actual New York City veterinary clinic services.
Oh, cool.
So the veterinary clinics themselves. Apparently they're misinformed about the conditions of the carriage industry. So frequently claiming that the horses are forced to live and work under inhumane conditions. This is incorrect. A careful explanation of the lives of these animals reveals totally the opposite. Most of the horses, Josh, are rescue animals themselves. So they're rescue animals, and then they live and work under the careful scrutiny of the veterinary profession. So they've got to go through so many stringent testings, and these testings are, you know, quite regulated and whatnot as well. So there's the side of the story there that, you know what, sometimes the horses, you know, they'd probably like it, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, you want on one side or the other. So I'm just putting it out there that people, before you jump onto the I'm anti-horse, just do some research for yourself. Have a look at and what's involved in it as well. So,
yeah, I guess I didn't realize people were anti-carriage rides.
Yes, there are. There are people that are anti-carriage rides. But anyway, so that is New York City. New York, as I said, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. It's just an amazing place to be, and you could obviously spend, you know, quite some time there, length of time there going through, and you still wouldn't see it all. But if you like to, you know, like in Australia, we see these movies, Josh, all the time, you know, and I'm watching, actually, off topic here, I'm watching there's a new NCIS Sydney out at the moment, right? And it's filmed inside Sydney. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching with my wife, and she's like, have you been there? I'm like, yes. Have you been there? I'm like, yes. Yes. So I know all the locations. And so for me personally, and like you like going to a place where you've actually been to the location. You can see it on film, and then you see it in person. Those things can happen in New York City on so many.
Everywhere.
Areas. Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. So
totally. Anyway,
there you go. That's New York City.
Well, let me just say this. I haven't been to New York City during the holidays, but my wife, Tammy, had been doing some interesting things this last year. I don't know if I ever told you this, but she has been taking one-day long trips.
Yeah.
Where they literally get up early in the morning, take a flight from Minneapolis to a destination far away, spend the whole day, a day trip.
Yeah.
And then literally get on the plane that night and come home the same day.
You didn't tell me about it, but she did, just saying.
Yes. So she did that at Christmas time last year and did Rockefeller Center. She did a horse carriage ride. You can't do too much and get back to the airport, but she did all this Christmas related stuff in one day.
Yeah.
And slept in her same bed when she came home that night. That's incredible. We should have her and her friend on the show that did some of that, because that was a really interesting concept. Actually, because you save money from not, you know, spending hotel rooms and stuff like that.
You know, it's just airfares. That's it. Yeah.
So
exactly.
All right.
So what have you got next then, Josh?
What do I have next? A place that I have been to. Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yes, because it's just north of Owensboro, Kentucky. I know that we drove by this place several times and we did not stop because, you know, we had a lot to do. Back in May, we drove by this spot, and that is Santa Claus, Indiana.
And it's actually named Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's so the name of the town.
One of the places, Josh, I dare say that you could go all year round and be Christmas
yes.
themed.
Yeah. Yes. And actually, it might be better to go in the summer.
Yeah.
Because there is an amusement park there called Holiday World. Now, I've never experienced Holiday World, but it's a Six Flags, you know, Cedar Point type of place, roller coasters and all the, you know, all the stuff. But the cool thing is it's Holiday World. It's all themed, not by just Christmas, but many different, there's sections like Disney, you know, they have like Future World or, and, you know, Frontierland and all. This is like, they have like Thanksgiving Land, Valentine's Land, Christmas Land.
Oh, so it's all the holidays.
It's based off of all the holidays. Now, Christmas, of course, I'm sure is really featured well because, of course, it is in Santa Claus, Indiana. But yeah, and here's the cool thing, Craig. Back when we were there in May, AFK, which AFK Geocaching, it's a group of geocachers. It's like a business. They put a premium adventure lab there. And what I mean by premium, it's like they have a financial relationship with geocaching.com where they can put in an adventure lab in a location where you have to essentially pay to get into the place. But they have a 10-stage adventure lab inside Holiday World.
That's cool.
And that is cool. And you know, I read some of the reviews of it and they were like, you know, there were several grumpy geocachers saying, too bad I had to pay $70 to do this adventure lab. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. You paid $70 to go to Holiday World.
That's right.
To ride the roller coasters,
and
to experience
while you were
it
there.
Yeah. While you're in line, you're getting 10 fines.
Yes. So, it's the same as our other location-based game, Munzee, Josh, as well, whereby, you know, they're actually in the virtual Munzees are in, you know, parks and theme parks.
Yeah,
and
Disney World's huge.
Exactly. Six Flags are huge as well with them. And so, you know, you're literally standing in line, not doing anything else. So why not, you know, cap a few virtual Munzees or do some premium adventure labs? So,
yes. So Santa Claus, Indiana was filmed, was featured 2 years ago in my geocaching vlogger Christmas special. Oh, put it in the show notes. And I took Reese there. It was in the heart of the pandemic. So maybe it was 3 years ago. I can't remember. Anyway, you can go to the Santa Museum and Village and you go there and you can write a letter to Santa. You put it in the box and they will literally write you back. Santa writes you back.
Really?
Like a week later. And they actually have people that donate their time to handwrite letters to anybody that sends a letter to Santa in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Wow! So it's not just a pre-former where the actual child's name is in a different font. Dear Sarah,
and they will respond to whatever the kid has written, whatever the person has written. So it's completely personalized, handwritten letter by people that live in Santa Claus that they volunteer.
That's really cool. That's really nice, actually.
Of course, there's a Santa's Candy Castle that's featured in the video too. It's just an incredible candy store.
Yep.
And then I haven't visited this, but Greg, we know this. Everybody wants to claim Lincoln.
Everyone wants to claim
Illinois, the land of Lincoln.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
This is Indiana, near Santa Claus is Lincoln's boyhood home.
Oh, so not the cabin where he was born, where we visited that time. And guys, if you haven't listened to that, that's actually a golden nugget when we visited Lincoln's birthplace.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is
Santa Claus, home. Indiana. It's north of Owensboro, Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, Josh, I'm going to go from the biggest, New York City. Now I'm going to go to the smallest. So make you happy, okay? Just to make you happy.
Okay.
I did this for you, Josh. No one else, just for you.
Thank you.
It is McAdenville in North Carolina.
Never even heard of it.
No, it's very, very small. It's a population of less than 1,000 people, and it's about 30 minutes directly west of Charlotte as well, for those of you who want to know. But apparently this place here, the tradition of the Christmas town began back in 1956 when a few members of the men's club, they ask Farr, his name is, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, that's the one who does the textile manufacturing. In McAdenville as well. And they asked him if they could actually decorate a few trees around the community center and that as well. And he said, of course, I'll give you permission to do that. But not only I'll give you permission, but I'll pay for it. And so he then paid, and to this day still pays, for all the Christmas lights around the town. Now, it started with obviously a few Christmas trees, but it's grown exponentially since then. I'm talking lights, lights, and more lights.
Yes.
The best and only way to really experience it is a walkthrough. Don't drive through this place. Walk through. You'll miss things. So walk through is the best way to experience it. It is only – you got to respect the hours because it is actually like a town, Josh. It's like a neighborhood area. The best way to experience, Monday to Friday, 5:30 to 9:30. After 9:30, the lights go off. Weekends, though, 5:30 to 11. So it's up to you whether you can get there on the weekend or during the week. And the dates are from December 1st to December 26th. And they actually have the lighting ceremony on the 1st. And they also have a Yule log parade on December the 14th, halfway through as well. So there you go. Wow. That is McAddenville. And it's all for them. It's all about the lights, the Christmas Question. Lights. Yeah.
Is Farr, the guy named Farr,
yeah.
Do you think he's still alive?
Whoa.
Or do you think if he did it in 1956,
he could be. Yeah, I think he's probably
pretty old.
Yeah, I think he personally is still alive, the one who said yes and offered to pay. I think he's still alive, but obviously his family has taken over the business.
Yeah, because they have a textile manufacturer.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think motivated Farr to decorate all those trees.
What's that?
In his town.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, he was just so proud of his town.
Oh, geez, you got me.
That's a damn rare thing these days. That somebody would put their own money down to decorate their whole town because he wanted people to visit McAddenville because he's proud of his town.
That's a rare thing these days. Jeez,
it's a damn rare thing.
I didn't even know. You hadn't even put that in the show notes. Look at you go off the cuff. Jeez. You're so clever, mister. You're so clever.
It's a little nugget. It's a hidden nugget in every episode except one. I missed it once.
Exactly. All right, we're going to your last one, and it's your number one. Oh, your number one. What is it?
This is my number one.
Yeah.
I've not been here. I watched like a 10-minute YouTube video of a family that did visit it. Mm. Leavenworth, Washington.
Oh,
Washington State.
Washington State, not Washington, D.C., the other side. Washington State.
Leavenworth, Washington. This town is basically, if you've ever watched like a Christmas Hallmark movie, like this is... It's like a set. The whole town is like a set of a Christmas movie.
Oh.
And the whole town is Bavarian inspired. Oh. You remember when you watched some of my YouTube videos when we were down in Bavaria and we were like literally like with the big steins and people in Lederhosen.
Yes.
The architecture, all the buildings, the whole town looks like it's in Bavaria.
Wow.
It is just, gorgeous. And of course, with all the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
And I really regret because I know you weren't at the big 22nd anniversary of geocaching.
That's when I was in Alaska.
Yeah. You were in Alaska at that time. And there were a lot of people that week that went to Leavenworth and they were talking about it. Like her friend Hailmeister and Neil Moore, they went out there. It's like 2 hours east of Seattle.
Right.
And they were talking all about this place. And there's this is for the geocachers out there.
Yeah,
there's an active webcam there.
Oh.
That's the draw.
That's the draw.
That was the draw.
They're rare.
And let me just say, like, if you don't know it, again, geocaching, a webcam geocache, I'll explain it to you, is there's actually a webcam. It's kind of like old technology.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go to the location. And nowadays you can log on your phone and then you get a screenshot of yourself in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most webcams, let's just be real, like they're pretty lame.
They're boring. Just like you're a pixelated dot.
Yeah. You look at the photos of this webcam, which is right in the center of the village, especially at night at Christmas time.
Yeah.
The GC number is GCJHC9. It's gorgeous, Craig. It's like a holiday wonderland. You got to check out the images of this webcam, especially the night ones. It's gorgeous.
I'm looking as we speak now. So
yes,
Webcams are old, Josh. They're so old. I did a webcam. They're rare around everywhere. Actually, guess what, Josh?
What?
Guess what?
What?
I found this one.
You've been to this town?
Yes, I've been to this town. There you go.
Do you remember it?
Yes, I do now. Watching it, yes, I do.
Did you find it on your way across the US?
Yes, my very first time that I was in the US that year, the 2018.
Yeah.
Is when I actually when I found it. So there you go.
And you were there during the summer or the beginning of the summer.
6/6/18 it was. So
which it looks like it's really cool to visit even the summer, just because the build, you know, it's just such a cool little town.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So there you go. I knew. Jeez, look at us go. Look at me go.
There's a YouTube video of a family that is visiting this place for the weekend. We'll have it in the show notes. It's like, I think it's called Through My Lens or something. It's like a family vlogger dude.
Yeah.
But he does a great job showing several of the items. Of course, there's this Danish bakery with Bavarian waffles. Have you ever had a Bavarian waffle?
No, never had a Bavarian
waffle. Well, watch the video because it looks just delicious. Look up Bavarian waffle and you will be impressed. There's a nutcracker museum with over 9,000 nutcrackers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like the actual nutcrackers, the ones that are standing up, you know, when they've got their little mouth. Yeah. Those ones. Yeah,
Get this. Yeah. Some of the nutcrackers are over 1,000 years old in that museum.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Wow.
The big, I'm going to keep going. The big tree in the middle of the town. Yeah. It's lit up like a candy cane. Like you'll see that in the video.
Yeah.
You know that song, the Christmas song? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Do you know that song?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
Jack Frost. They actually have chestnuts roasted on an open fire, like a little chestnut stand.
Oh,
I've never had chestnuts roasted on open fire. No. I'd like to try that someday.
I'd love to try that someday.
Yeah. We know we like the beer. Icicle Brewing Company is the brewery in town. And
nice ice cold beer.
Yes. You can get real sleigh rides from real reindeer. Mm-hmm. It's this place. I'm having a little bit of regret. I think next time I go to Seattle, I think I got to make a little day trip.
Yeah.
But it looks like, you know, speaking of Christmas, like this Christmas time is the time to visit.
Yep.
And here's the tip. Ready? Mm-hmm. Visit during the week. If you go during December, go on a weekday.
Yes.
The weekends, I guess it's nuts.
It would be like anywhere. It would be nuts during the week. Weekend, sorry. Well, Josh, we're going to wrap this up very soon because my last one right now is Durango in Colorado. Again, a very small place.
I've been there.
You have, Durango,
Colorado. Not during Christmas, but I have been there before.
Well, this is about 7 hours, Josh, 7 hours southwest of Denver if you drive. Yeah. Yes. It's almost right at the southwest corner of Colorado. Now, if you go there during the Christmas season, it is a true, true white Christmas. For those of you who want to do a white Christmas, this one here, we're talking winter, cold, skiing, toboggan, snowboarding, snowmobiling, a real winter wonderland. Obviously, you can find Santa there for your real life Santa snow photos as well. I think he's actually outside, Josh, in the snow, and you get
Christmas. That's where he belongs.
That's where he belongs. He's all rugged up anyway.
He's got the big coat on, yeah.
Exactly. Can you imagine, Josh, you go to a place like this, right, and say you could either go there as a family or you could go there just as a couple, like a young couple, newly married, in love still. And you can stock up on those little special treats like the olives and the cheeses and the crackers and whatever at the farmer's market. And then you can actually cook it up in a real cozy log cabin with a log cabin fire, and there's snow outside. Can you imagine that's true heaven right there for most people.
Yeah, it's like a Hallmark movie again.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Exactly. So
yeah, Durango is great. It's an interesting part of Colorado. You're right. Like it takes forever because you have to drive. You basically have to drive through the mountains to get there if you're coming from Denver.
Yeah.
When I went there, I flew directly into Durango.
Yeah.
Because it's not an easy place to get to, but if you get to there, it's great. There's also, Craig, when I visited, there's lots of hot springs around there too.
Oh, of course. That's the thing. Apparently it's really good for you, is you being in the hot springs and you sweat in the hot springs, jump out and land in the snow, and your body goes and your pores freeze up and it's really good.
Although those hot springs, they do smell like farts.
Well, that's the sulfur, so that has to happen that way. So
I just want to warn anybody, if they're heading to a hot spring, Be prepared for a fart smell.
If you're a father, then you're going to be in heaven because you can be there and do it all you want and blame the actual...
That's just the sulfur.
That's not the dog anymore. It's a sulfur. So that's my last one, Josh. There you go. All said, all done. Five for you, five for me.
Well, there's our 10 Christmas-themed travel locations. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to put a call to action, a little CTA to our listeners.
Listen to you.
We want to know. We want to know what is your favorite Christmas-themed destination that you can visit any time of the year, or maybe is best if you visit during the holidays. Please write us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, it's not that hard. And what we'll do then from there is we'll probably even read it out next episode, Josh. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great as long as they're not too long-winded.
This is true. I can condense them. I can condense them for
us,
Josh. Meanwhile, Josh, a Merry Christmas to you, and also a Merry Christmas to our Patreons out there.
Yes, and Happy New Year.
Yes.
Thank you for all your support. This is sort of the end of season one.
Yeah, it is. This is the last episode of season one. It's episode 21, Josh.
21 the last episodes we've done. Yeah, episode of the year.
Yep.
But we're not taking a break. You know, sometimes they have season one. They're like, we'll see you in 7 months.
Yeah,
we're coming back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
On January 8th.
Yep.
And so we're going to keep going. Season two starts right away.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. But we do want to express a very special thank you to our patrons that got this podcast off the ground. And I think, dare I say, our podcast here is thriving.
It really is. Should we list them, Josh? Should we say them?
Let's list them.
Should we give them a shout out? I'll start off with Jerry Neese. Jerry Neese, thank you.
Bianca Schmidt, thank you.
A fam of 5W, thank you.
Jesse Brown or Shorty Nets, thank you.
Jeff Cross, thank you, Mike.
Smile Makers from Australia.
No, Smile Makers.
Oh, they're not? I thought those were your Australian friends.
No, he's a good friend of mine, but no, he's near you, Josh. He's near you. Tom Beers.
Love that.
Tom Beers. Thank you, Tom.
Wouter Hoke.
He's a good friend.
From the Netherlands.
Yes. Tim Terrell, thank you, mate.
Garrett A, thank you.
Tie Your Own Shoelaces. I like that name.
Arnott Family. I believe Arnott Family is from Australia.
Yes, because Arnott's. It's Arnott, not Arnott. Arnott's.
Okay. Arnott.
Arnott's. It's a biscuit brand.
Okay.
Or cookie brand, you say. Dale and Barb from the Space Coast Geo Store all the way down in Florida.
Ooh, we're going to see them soon.
We will.
Jeff Arbaugh and Teas from Texas.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. This one's a good friend of mine from Australia as well. Pipes Down Under. Pipes.
Oh, that's obvious.
Pipes is actually like bagpipes. So he plays the bagpipes. There you go.
Nice. Tiva 28, which I believe is a van lifer, sort of.
Sort of. Yeah, absolutely. I saw that as well.
They've got a sweet van.
Really sweet. And she does a lot of the trips away with her husband, different places, different locations. That's really cool. This one's from Australia as well. GC Jazz, Josh.
Andrew Tiebkin from Minneapolis area.
Allison Burtman, thank you very much.
From Long Island. Kitty Catch,
thank you. Australia as well. James Everson, thank you, mate.
Timothy, Minnesota boy, Larson, thank you.
I have to give this guy a shout out too. The geocaching vlogger apparently is one of our Patreons. I know.
I support our own podcast. Yeah. I put my money where my mouth is, man. Yeah,
exactly
literally.
Right. Exactly right.
Da Truck from Pennsylvania.
Yes. Great guy. Again, another one from Australia. No Angel from Australia. Thank you very much, No Angel.
And Jamie Lavin. Motorima is the geocaching name.
On Long Island.
Yes.
So there you go, Josh. They're our Patreons. So thank you again, and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all our listeners, but also especially our Patreons as well.
Yes. If you've been enjoying our podcast, we really appreciate your support. By supporting us, like all these great people we just listed, you'll be helping us to create even better content as we keep moving for season two. No annoying commercials, but Miller High Life, if you're listening, or Texas Roadhouse, if you're listening. But till then, we are completely listener supported. So consider joining our team, where you're going to get golden nuggets of things. Craig and I talk longer than 1 hour. Can you believe it? And we give those little golden nuggets to our patrons. So all you have to do is go to patreon.com/treasuresofourtown, find us there, and subscribe at whatever level you can do.
Yeah, because there's even a free level as well, Josh. So if you want to try it out, there you go. You can do it for free as well for the time being. But until then, next episode, Josh, we start season two. As you said before, we start season number two, episode one. And what are we going to do? We're going to do a year in review.
A year in review.
Yeah.
Because 2023 was a great year. And we're going to do we'll do a preview of 2024.
Oh, yes.
Of our travels around this great country of ours.
And that's going to be really, really cool. Very intensive, actually, that one, Josh, to be honest with you, because we've got a lot to talk about. We've done a lot this year, and we didn't even start the full year. We didn't start back in January, Josh.
I know. We'll probably have more. Well, we will have more episodes next year than this year. And I just want to give a little bit of promotion because we got a trip coming up soon, Craig.
Yes. Yes, we do. We're going to do a live broadcast, not a live broadcast, but a live recording, I should say.
Yes.
In Florida, Josh, down in Orlando, Florida.
Yes. So we're going down to the Munsey Mecca Mega Event. That's a lot of M's.
There's a lot of M's going on there.
And so we're going to a big Munsey event. Again, if you're not a location-based game player, Munsey's another location-based game. We get together, have some fun, and get a lot of points. And we're going to be down there with the president of Munsey himself.
Yes.
We'll be under the same roof as the prez.
Yep, yep, yep.
So I think we'll for sure get him on the podcast. I'm sure he'll be a guest in a couple episodes here.
Yes, he definitely will. Definitely will. Rob, his
name. Oh, when is it?
So good. It is January 11th to 14th. So there's five events over the 4 days. So if you can try and get down there, if you guys don't play Munsey, but you're into location-based games, check out Munsey itself as well. Links are in the description. And have a look at what this gameplay is about. This one here, Josh, it looks like it's going to be a mega event because Dale and Barb are going to be there as well from the Space Coast Geostore. Yes. They're really cool. They're lots of fun as well. So, yeah, get down. Orlando, Florida. You know what? And if you're just starting off, don't be scared. Come and say g'day to us.
Yeah.
Hi to Josh.
You can scan my referral code.
Yeah.
And you'll be forever tied to me. And that's not a bad thing.
They're like the thousands already, including me.
That's not a bad thing. Just ask Craig.
Exactly, exactly. So apart from that, Josh, how can people find us if they want to contact us?
If they want to get a hold of us, just email us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can visit us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So that's our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always... Wow. What a way to end season.
I'm going to keep this in. I'll keep this one in.
May your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems around the world. See you next time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Season one is out. Goodbye.
I'll keep that in. I think I'm going to keep that in.